Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
All right, Jess, we've got some college football lines this weekend, and somehow I forgot to include this one from Austin. Odds BYU covers tonight against Utah State, and
First and foremost, before we get into that, that's a great game for Notre Dame to just hang out and watch together as a team if they wanted to, because Utah State is a good run program. I think that's great film right before, you know, you're on a bye week, and that's a great film of two good teams going against each other, and you're going against one of those teams the next week. But that's just a side note.
Yep, that's right. Caden, sorry to hear about your dog named Teo. He said he had to put him down. He was battling cancer. We are thinking about you and praying for you and Teo as well. Sorry to hear that, my friend. I saw something here. Somebody was still chiming in on the takes 3.5 plus hours to play 60 minutes of 10 to 20 second burst. That's a good point, Larry. Like when you boil it down that way, they've got to find a better way. All right. We do have some college football lines though for this weekend. What is the spread of that BYU Utah State game? Does anybody have it off the top of their head? I don't have it with me. Do you have your app there, Jess?
I am looking right now. And I got Utah State confused with Utah, so not as great of a game as I thought.
Not what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah. The spread is 26 points. Ooh. BYU is favored by 26 points.
Man,
forgive me, everyone. I really thought that I thought about Utah and not Utah State. It's been
a long Thursday,
okay?
That's all right.
I've been up since like 5 a.m.
26, that's a lot of points. I don't like to touch games that are – that have a spread like that myself. I don't know about you.
Something's fishy with Cincinnati and Miami tonight. Cincinnati is favored, and the Dolphins are 3-0.
Oh,
Bengals. I know I switched to NFL. Sorry, but we got onto spreads, and Bengals are like a 3.5-point favorite just because they're the home team. It's really weird. So I would definitely take that Dolphins line. I know I did.
Well, good to jump on it then. How about some college lines for the weekend? Michigan minus 10.5 at Iowa. The over-under is 42.5. You want to start with that one?
Yeah, I'll start with that one. Over-under, Iowa doesn't score a lot of points. They're known for, you know, being a defensively sound team. We've seen Michigan put up a lot of points, but it's really come against who? Like Hawaii, Connecticut. So, you know, I could see this game very well being kind of like a 30-10 game and still not getting there. So I'm actually going to take the under on this game because I think Iowa has a pretty solid defense. I know their offense is horrible. So Michigan's really going to have to score all the points in this game. So I'm going to go with the under.
Yeah. Sid says, has Michigan played a real team yet? The answer is no, and they still will not see one tonight. They will see half a team when they play Iowa, but they will not see an offensive team. Yeah, I like Michigan giving those 10.5 points, and I like the under on this as well. Again, the under or the over-under is 42.5. I was only allowed 23 points, but the offense is only averaging 17 points a game. I think Michigan is infinitely better. You know, Iowa will, you know, kind of, try to slow down Blake Corum, I guess. That's really their only chance to win in this game. But I just think Michigan has got too much for Iowa. Again, you know, the Iowa defense will contribute, but there will be zero offense once again. And Tyler, we do have the KU Iowa State game coming up on this list. So be patient there. Minnesota minus 12.5 against Purdue. The over under on this one is 51. and a half.
I am going to take Purdue for this. I think that they'll cover that 12 and a half. And then for the over under, I think that that's going to go over. I think that, you know, kind of middle of the pack, Big Ten team or Big Ten games. Now that the season is kind of getting into swing, more comfortability with offense. I'll see. I like that game going over, and I like Purdue to cover that spread. I think Purdue is, you know, they're not great, but I think they play teams competitively. They're not just going to get pushed over. And I think two touchdowns like that might be a little bit too much, in my opinion. I could see a 10-point, but when we get into, you know, 12 and a half is essentially meaning you're going to get beat by a touchdown and two field goals or two touchdowns. So for me, I just like that. I think that's just a little too much.
Yep. John says Minnesota will beat Purdue. I agree with that. I couldn't believe just the way they just thrashed Michigan State 34-7 last week. And I wonder how Michigan State feels after giving Mel Tucker that big contract extension. They've lost to Washington and Minnesota in back-to-back weeks now.
It's always interesting to me, and we'll see this eventually at Notre Dame now that there's they're going through a coaching, you know, cycle change and all of that. When do the old coaches' players taper out, and when do the new guys, kind of new players, come in full circle? Uh-huh. I think we're approaching that kind of zone with the Michigan State and Mel Tucker. So I'm always curious to see that, because you could still be riding the coattails of, you know, someone that you know, set up the foundation to that program. And now it's, you know, your time that your actual recruits are getting into the full swing of becoming the full-time players. So be interested to see.
Yep, I agree. Minnesota, you know, cracked the top 25 this week. We got some people commenting on Kansas, and they're still sitting on the outside looking in. As far as this Minnesota game, Gophers can really run the ball. They've got two running backs. I don't know how much you've paid attention to them. They've combined for over 800 rushing yards so far. Minnesota does. They like to run it. Purdue's quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, he was out against Florida Atlantic. So I like the Gophers, given those 12 and a half. I do like the under on 52 and a half in the points total, though. Did you say over or under?
I took the over.
You took the over? I'm taking the under on this one.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Really interesting one to me. Unbeaten Florida State, -6.5 against that Wake Forest team that we saw take Clemson to overtime last week. And the over-under here is 64.5 points.
Woof. That's a whole lot of points. But we saw that game last week with Wake Forest and Clemson, and that was a whole lot of points.
Almost 100,
I didn't know Florida State was undefeated, so that's, first of all, kind of crazy. Yeah. I go so far to say I think Wake Forest wins this game, and I'd be confident enough to take the money line. The safer bet is the -6 that they'll cover that, you know, +6.5. But I think that Wake Forest will win this game just straight up. You know, I think that Clemson game put a bad taste in their mouth. I think that they know how good of a team they are and how close they are. And I think this week they'll kind of come back with an even bigger chip on their shoulder. I really like the way the Wake Forest team plays. They showed they can put up the points offensively. It's just a matter of if they can slow down Florida State. And I don't think Florida State has quite the offense that Clemson has. So I like this game. I'm going to go with the under. That's just a lot of points. I think more often than not, it's safer to take the under, but it is college football, so you never know.
And I don't know about defense for either one of these teams. Florida's got the best running team in the ACC right now. Jordan Travis is playing really well, but, you know, we saw Wake score 45 against Clemson. Now, granted, you know, it went to overtime and all that, but I do like a lot of points. I do like Wake getting the 6.5. I don't know about money line, but I like Wake getting the 6.5. I'd feel comfortable with that. And I do like the over 64.5, even though that is a lot of points. I know Wake is going to score probably at least in that 40 range there. So all Florida State needs to give you is like 25 points. So I like the over on that one. All right. And then we've got the game that has been promised. Iowa State is a 3-point favorite at Kansas. And the over-under here is 58.5 points.
I like the under in this game, and I think Kansas pulls it off, and I think they only do it because of their riding this 4-0 streak and they're at home. So outside of that, I think it's going to be a very close game, but in close games like this with two good teams, I think home field advantage always plays a key role. So I'm going to go with Kansas in this game, but I do like the under. I don't think they're going to hit. I think you said 58.5. I think that will also, like I said, we'll hit the under on that.
I believe they have gone over. I can't remember last week. I think they ended up going over on the points total against Duke. But this is an interesting one. Kansas is 4-0. They're also 4-0 against the spread this season. Of course, it helps when you're an underdog and you go on the road and pick up wins against West Virginia and Houston. You know, you're gonna hit the spread. But they covered as a touchdown favorite last week against Duke. Iowa State is just 2-2 against the spread. They've got a really good defense, but they haven't seen a quarterback like Jalen Daniels this season. 11 touchdown passes, nearly 900 yards, and he has also run for over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns so far. So Tyler is ready. He likes the Jayhawks to win big on this one. I like them +3. It's, I think, the closest line that they have had all season. But, of course, we're in conference play now, so you would expect the line to be a little bit closer. So I like the Jayhawks +3. I like the over 58.5 points, though, because they're still the number 7 scoring team in the country at 47 points per game. So I like the over 58.5. The points have been coming in bucket loads when Kansas has played this year.
I think this is a really good opportunity for, you know, the whole country to kind of see Kansas and see if they're really legit. You know, Iowa State has been a pretty consistently good team over the last few, you know, 5-6 years. And I think it'll be good for everyone to see Jalen Daniels and how dynamic he is at quarterback, because he's a stud. And I really hope that everyone gets this opportunity to kind of see him play. And I think a lot of people will be surprised by his performance. And I texted you a couple of days ago I might have asked you, I was like, you think these are Les Miles recruits, or Les Miles got all these recruits and then couldn't even coach? I wonder, you know, how he's feeling. But that stuff is always kind of running through my head. I'm always curious of, like, was he, you know, a Les Miles recruit, and then he ended up staying, even though the coaching, you know, change and all that stuff that happened. So,
I mean, he got a few of them, but at the same time, Les Miles wasn't there for very long. So I don't think he can take credit for too many of them. So how about Clemson? I think this is our last game that we've got tonight. Clemson -6.5 against NC State and an over-under of 42.5.
I definitely like the over in this game. Man, I like, let me see. I like Clemson covering that spread. I think that they'll win. You know, to me, it's either going to come down to a field goal win or a touchdown win. So I'll go with that Clemson will cover that. I think that, yeah, Clemson covers. You know, they'll have kind of maybe a wake-up call defensively after what happened with Wake Forest last week. But, yeah, I like the under, but I definitely like Clemson covering at the same time.
Yeah, and Clemson's secondary has really struggled this year. And, you know, like not this year, but last week specifically against Wake Forest. That is still their weakness. What I wonder about is what are the conditions of this game going to be? Is it going to be like when Notre Dame went to Clemson a few years back or went to NC State a few years back? You know, is that what it's going to be like, the remnants of Hurricane Ian and all that stuff? That's what I wonder, because obviously if it's like that, then Clemson's secondary doesn't really matter. But, you know, and I think it'll keep the game a little bit closer, though, as well. I do like Clemson to win. I like NC State getting the 6.5, though, and I like the under on the points. Again, I'm kind of assuming that the weather is going to be garbage, but that's kind of that's my line of thinking for this one.
I definitely forgot that the weather would be a factor, so I would 100% smash that under with that kind of weather rolling through.
Yeah, I guess. You know, again, might have to wait and see what it looks like Saturday by the time, you know, everything rolls around. But like Michael said, the weather is going to be atrocious. And I think they've still kind of got some of that rolling through there. Brian says, FYI, Aaron Judge went deep last night, and you are right. And we will be touching on that here in just a second, because after all, this is rapid fire. If you had your pick, Jesse, which current college football head coaching vacancy would you say is the best, Georgia Tech, Nebraska, or Arizona State?
To me, this came down to Arizona State and Nebraska. I thought about it on a different, you know, obviously I think Nebraska has more of the historic background, you know, the success over the years. But I would say right now, Arizona State would be more appealing. And I think it's just more appealing because of it's more appealing to recruits. I feel like as a head coach, you'd have a better time getting, you know, recruits out there, because who doesn't want to be living out in Arizona playing football where it's constantly nice weather? Arizona, the state, the college is known for other reasons outside of football.
Partying?
A lot of partying, a lot of pool parties, which means, you know, a lot of attractive women. I think for that reason, it's more appealing to the recruits, and it'd be more appealing to the head coach, because who wants to play, you know, at Nebraska later in the season when it's cold, that kind of stuff. So I think it's going to be Arizona State, and I wouldn't be surprised if Urban Meyer, you know, at least considered going out there. But there's another big reason that I would go with Arizona State, and I think it's because I think it's easier to have success in the ACC, or sorry, the Pac-12 than it is the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten has some juggernauts towards the top, while the Pac-12, it's like constantly cycling who that juggernaut is. So it could be your year, really any year. It's easier to kind of get to the top in the Pac-12, in my opinion. So for those reasons, mainly the conference reason, I think that the Arizona State job would be more appealing. And you throw in the nice weather. Yeah, but it's 120, but it's clean air and you get used to it. It's not that humid, thick air. I was out there in the middle of July. I loved it, had a good time. But yeah, you know, I think those things play into it, and that's why I would go with Arizona State.
Yeah, I have always thought that Arizona State is this sleeping giant, because you don't have, you know, your academic restrictions are basically minimal. The weather that you talked about. Now, it can be extremely hot, and, you know, it does still get extremely hot. But I have, because of some of the things that you outlined, I mean, it's, you know, again, it's not Notre Dame or Stanford or, you know, USC even, or one of those. You're still close enough to Los Angeles that you would think that you would be able to recruit Southern California pretty well. But for whatever reason, no one's ever really got that Arizona State thing rolling. To me, because of a lot of the things that you talked about, it's a better job than Nebraska, because Nebraska just does not have the recruiting base to draw from. You know, it's so different now compared to 35, 40 years ago when Tom Osborne had that thing running, when all you had to do was go out and, you know, pluck some offensive linemen off the cornfield. And then, you know, he would go to California and Los Angeles himself and pluck a couple running backs and run that I formation. And that's how they won. But you can't win with that kind of football anymore. And so for that reason, I just, you know, Nebraska historically obviously is a historic program with national championships and all that, but we're going on, like, I'm trying to think, you know, it's been since right around the time you were born that Nebraska last won a national championship, and they haven't been relevant for more than 20 years now. So I don't think that it's that great a job. Georgia Tech is obviously in a very recruiting rich part of the country. You know, the state of Georgia itself is very recruiting rich, and the city of Atlanta is very recruiting rich. But the problem is, it is Georgia Technological Institute. You know, there are academic standards there too. And I think that hurts them. I'm surprised that they pulled the trigger as quickly as they did, because when he took over, like, everyone was talking about what a great job he was doing coming out of that triple option era and all that stuff. There's obviously a lot of rebuilding to do there. And there's a lot of rebuilding to do at all three of these programs. You know, when Arizona State loses to Eastern Michigan, oof. Big trouble.
Yeah, and I think another point with, yes, there's Georgia's a good, you know, very, very wealthy when it comes to recruits, but you have Auburn, you have Georgia, you have Alabama as your neighbors. You know, you're kind of getting, I would say, kind of second and third fiddle when it comes to those kind of programs. You know, obviously five-star, four-star recruits going to be first kind of looking at those schools before they might consider Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Drunk Vigo knows.
Tyler with a super chat. He's going to put us on the spot now here tonight. Best Cowboys wideout to wear 88. And they did the little 88 feature, you know, before the game the other night. I will say my favorite is the original Drew Pearson, because that's the guy I grew up with. Undrafted free agent out of Tulsa. Finally got his due and got into the Hall of Fame here recently. He's my favorite, but I think Michael Irvin, with what he did with that, you know, with Troy Aikman and that offense, and just that, you know, the physical stature that he had and the freakish skills, you know, between the ball and the speed and everything else. I think he's probably the best. There might even be a case for Dez Bryant, just, you know, again, because, like, the modern athlete and how big and strong and physical he was. But I think Irvin, a lot more consistent hands than Dez Bryant. What do you think, Jess?
I would say that my favorite would be Dez Bryant, just because I got to see him play, you know, the most that I have the most recollection of. And I was looking at Michael Irvin's stats and Dez Bryant's stats, and Dez Bryant played 40 less games than Michael Irvin. And Michael Irvin had, you know, about 4,000 more receiving yards and about 200 more catches, but Dez Bryant had 10 more touchdowns than Michael Irvin did in about 40 less games and 200 less receptions. So I think that
passing era, it's still more of a passing era now than it was then.
Right. But I think what I'm getting at is Dez Bryant was known for his touchdowns. Like he would go up and get those balls. He was a big physical wide receiver. He had good hands, good body control. So my favorite wide receiver was Dez Bryant. The best 88 to wear, you know, to wear 88 would be Michael Irvin. And I think Michael Irvin deserves it because of he treats the 88 with so much respect. And there was a good video of him earlier this week on First Take talking about, you know, the 88, the you know, the son of valor and all these things. And he takes it very serious, you know, wearing the 88. It's typical, you know, Michael Irvin, you know, say what you want about him. Yes, he's over the top, but it means something to him, and it means something to all these guys to be able to wear 88. And I think that's the cool part, is that, you know, not everyone just gets to wear the 88. These are Hall of Fame wide receivers. And it's really cool to see, you know, like I said, this kind of club and the way that they take it so seriously.
Yep. And this is what the Brian and Michael both got these points in before I was able to. The fact that you had Emmett Smith, who was scoring a lot of touchdowns himself, and even Alvin Harper and Michael brought up Jay Novacek as well. You know, there were other weapons on that. You know, that's why they won three Super Bowls. You know, you had a great quarterback. You had the NFL's all-time leading rusher as things, you know, worked out. You had a great offensive line. There was a lot more balance in that offense because, like, Aikman never put up gaudy numbers. But, you know, I can see what you're saying in the case that you made for Dez Bryant. But, you know, that, again, much more passing prolific era that we're in right now. But all of them great, of course, in their own right. CeeDee Lamb, got to pick it up. Can't be dropping those balls. I mean, you make up for it with a great catch, but you can't be dropping balls that are right in your hands.
Yeah, I need CeeDee Lamb to kind of pick it up. You know, I think he's kind of letting the 88 club or legacy down right now, and I think he really needs to kick it into gear. He needs to be that consistent wide receiver. He's a number one wide receiver. He's finally the number one wide receiver in this offense now, and I would just like to see a little bit more production. Yes, Tyler, it was a catch. There's no doubt about
Even
it.
Even the NFL has said since they changed that rule that it would be a catch now. So
I think that there was a good question up here in the chat that we might have missed.
And what bugs me about that the most, the fact that that wasn't, I mean, that would have, if that had been ruled a catch, that's a potentially complete game changer for Tony Romo's legacy. You know, just, you know, the legacy of a guy who couldn't win big games, you know, couldn't come through in the clutch, all that stuff. And then he makes a throw like that. Bryant makes that catch that they say wasn't a catch. And it completely changes history, basically.
Yeah, I agree. It was very unfortunate. That was such a good game. At the hands of Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Cowboys have had some pretty good teams and gotten – struck down by Mr. Rodgers in the playoffs and some very last second, just, you know, nail biting overall, very good games. And even better if you're a Packers fan.
Yep. All right. We promised some Aaron Judge. He did get his 61st home run last night. And so Judge now leads the American League in the three triple crown categories. He did anyway, but he's batting .313, tied for the lead there, just percentage points. I had it .313. Has 130 RBIs, 61 home runs. So which is the bigger deal, winning the Triple Crown or, you know, 61 home runs or, you know, however many home runs he ends up with? Which is the bigger deal to you?
The bigger deal to me has to be the Triple Crown. And I'll tell you why. Yes, is it fascinating and impressive that he's hitting 61 home runs and, you know, that ties the AL record all time. And, you know, there's an argument that it could be the all-time record if he gets 62. But the Triple Crown to me is the consistency. It is the complete hitter. It is the overall hitter. You know, outside of power, you can drive guys in. That's, you know, major run production, winning games, increasing your WAR. And then obviously hitting for batting average, you're hitting for power and you're hitting for average at the same time. You're not striking out as much. You know, you're putting the ball in play, getting hits consistently. So for me, the Triple Crown is definitely more impressive. And we haven't seen a Triple Crown since Miguel Cabrera in 2012. And I'm going to ask you, do you know who won before Miguel Cabrera and what year it was?
I do. The year of my birth, 1967. Carl Yastrzemski was the last one before that. And, you know, I mean, you nailed all the points on this. You know, the Triple Crown, you know, one, nobody hits for average anymore, especially power hitters. And for a guy with 61 home runs and counting to be leading the American League with a .313 batting average as well is amazing. And, you know, now granted, he's walked, you know, he had been walking a lot more recently, leading up to finally hitting that home run. He walked four times the night before against the Blue Jays, so that helps him out. I wonder now, because of the Triple Crown, because they had him there in the leadoff spot, you know, to get him more at bats for, you know, more chances for home runs, if maybe they drop him down a couple spots in the order to help him out with a batting average, you know, like to take away some of those at-bats, basically. I don't mean that in a bad way by any means, but, you know, that could help him out. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fewer at-bats you have, the better chance you have to keep that batting average up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basic math. The less opportunities, the better chance, you know, that you have at not hurting your batting average. But to me, the Triple Crown is like one of the most impressive feats.
It is
in sports, because you're leading in every offensive major category: to hit for power, to hit for average, to hit with the consistency, to be clutch, to drive guys in and have the RBIs. It's really, really hard. And I don't think that, you know, there's a stat kind of similar in really any other sport to show kind of the dominance that's on display. So, you know, as much as I don't like the Yankees, I really respect Aaron Judge. He balled out this year in a contract year. He said, "I don't want the money. I'm worth more than that." And he's potentially going to set the AL record in home runs. He's potentially going to be the Triple Crown winner. And that is the definition of betting on yourself. So, and, you know, hats off to Aaron Judge.
Fred says, "Phoenix is a great city." Going back to that, I lived and worked there for over 30 years, originally from South Bend. If you were here for a few days in July, you can't appreciate the heat like it's a furnace. Yeah, I mean, I think as long as you're around a swimming pool at that point, you're probably feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, when it was 100 degrees at midnight and I was outside, standing outside the bar, I was like, wow.
Feeling it.
We're not in Indiana anymore.
Yep. So here's what Roger Maris Jr. had to say after watching Judge tie his dad's 61-year-old American League record last night. Quote, "Judge should be revered for being the actual single-season home run champ. I mean, that's really who he is if he hits 62, and I think that's what needs to happen. I think baseball needs to look at the records, and I think baseball should do something," end quote. So what do you think about that, Jess?
So there's a lot of layers to this question.
Yes, there are.
Because if you make something the precedent, then you have to go back and erase a lot of things. And then I had this conversation with someone the other day. Do steroids help? Sure. But do you still need to get your hands there and square the ball up and hit it right on the barrel? Sure. So if you're doing those things, do the steroids help the ball go farther? Yeah. You know, Sammy Sosa also had a corked bat. You know, he was caught with a corked bat at some point. So to me, it's so hard because there's still a lot of skill that's involved, but ultimately home runs are a feat of power. And so obviously the steroids is something that's going to help that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I still think Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer, but I think that no record holder that did steroids should hold the record. But another point of that is there was a lot of steroid use going on in baseball. Not everyone got caught.
Yes.
And so then there's so many layers to this too. Question.
We don't know. All we know is, like, you know, McGuire, Bonds, Sosa. They're the obvious ones. And a few others in there as well. You know, like guys who got big, but nobody was ever proven, you know, because they weren't doing things like these guys. But like you just look at this glut, like that record had stood for what? More than, what was that? Going on 40 years at that, like 36 years, 37 years, I guess, that record had stood, Maris's record. Then all of a sudden you get this barrage from 1998 through 2001 where all these guys, Bonds, you know, McGuire and Sosa broke those numbers multiple times. Bonds in 2001 obviously ends up hitting 73. And so it's just like boom, 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 boom. Now, PEDs were supposed to be banned in the 90s, but they were not testing for PEDs. You know, so it's like it's like if you tell a classroom full of kids in school, you know, put your phone, you know, you don't have to put your phones away, but you're not allowed to use them on the test. And then you leave the room. Well, guess what's going to happen? They're going to use the phones to find the answers on their test as soon as you leave the room. You know, you've got to monitor this. And that's what, you know, baseball finally figured out in 2003. Hey, we actually need to test for this if we're going to ban PEDs. And lo and behold, guess what? All the home run totals went down. I think it's like 8 or 9 times since 2003 has 50 home runs even been hit. And, you know, Judge has done it a couple of times. Giancarlo Stanton has done it a couple of times. And, you know, some other guys in there as well. So, I you know, it's all on baseball because they were more than willing to accept this because it brought fans back through the gates. After the strike, it brought fans back to baseball. I think these guys, if you're going to let these records stand, they should be in the Hall of Fame, or, you know, at least Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire probably deserves to be there as well for what he ended up hitting. But at the same time, like, go back to when Mark McGwire was in Oakland. Everybody knew he was on the stuff, him and Jose Canseco, back in the late 80s. But again, nobody was testing for it, and they got away with it for as long as they did. So if baseball was willing, you know, to turn a blind eye, then they deserve to have those records. But I do think that it's cool that the American League record stood for as long as it did. You know, 61 years the record stood, and now here you've got, I kind of feel bad for you know, the Marises, because like maybe Roger Maris Jr. was just saying what you were saying the other day. Mark McGwire is just a jerk, and he just likes Aaron Judge better, you know, because remember, he, you know, the Maris family had to sit through the whole McGwire-Sosa chase as well. They had to sit there, and, you know, just like they had to sit there for a week in New York watching these games. So I kind of feel bad for them, but I do think that it was very interesting that Maris Jr. came out and basically was laying salvos at Major League Baseball. Fill in the blank on this next one. It's blank that a guy named Frankie Lasagna just missed catching Aaron Judge's home run ball last night while he was wearing a baseball glove.
One word, disgraceful. That guy bought a ticket to that game for one reason, came with his glove for one reason. He had one job, and he blew a at least $1 million bag for that ball. You know, I don't know about you, but $1 million, that's instant retirement money. You know, he had to prep for this whole situation, and he just choked in the moment. So it's disgraceful in my opinion. He's wearing a Toronto uniform, so you know he's not there for the game. He's just there because he's trying to catch a home run ball. Like I said, he brought his glove. He's sitting in the outfield. So yeah, it's disgraceful. He should have caught it. He's a grown man at a game solely for the reason to, you know, catch a $1 million lottery ticket, and he blew his chance. And now no one gets that, you know, opportunity because the ball was retrieved by the team. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, that the Yankees, you know, have to pay someone out, but I think it's cool when someone does get that, you know. I think it's cool when they go through the bartering system, but now it's just like very anticlimactic. The Yankees get the ball for free, and they don't have to empty their pockets at all.
Yeah. So Frankie Lasagna apparently owns an Italian restaurant, shocker, in Toronto. He goes to the game and the ball clanks off his glove. Like, if you're just, I think you said it, if you're going to show up at a Major League Baseball game and you're going to sit out there and you're going to have your glove and you're still going to drop it, you should be banned for at least a year from ever coming back to the ballpark. Now, I'm serious, somewhat facetious, but still, you should be banned for a year if you like.
Harsh.
Come on, you've got to make that catch. And he was killing himself after the game.
I wouldn't be sleeping for a week at least. That's so much, You know how much he could have got for that, right? Like, and at the end of the day, he says yes or no. So he could call their bluff for a long time and get probably a lot of, you know, a lot of it out of it.
We are not, Marshall says, is this that D-bag that catches a million baseballs and sells them back to the players? No, this is a completely different guy. I've seen that guy. These two guys look nothing like each other. You know, this guy got his glove on the ball, and it just bounced off his glove and into the bullpen. The bullpen guy picked it up, and off to the Yankees it went. You've got to make that catch, man. If you're going to show up at a ballpark wearing a glove, you got to make that catch. And yeah, that's right. And a jersey. You got to make that catch. But he needs to figure out a way to spin this so that he gets people coming into his restaurant now, Frankie Lasagna. He needs to like
the dropped ball special.
Get a picture of that. Yeah. And you know, like he's got to do something, man. He's got to make it work for him. All right. Well, we've still got people who are awake after listening to the baseball talk. It's amazing. You know, I didn't realize how quickly, you know, people turn on baseball, even when you're talking about home run records and
triple crown
and triple crowns and that kind of stuff, how quickly they want to turn on baseball. But I guess that's the way it goes. But I think that's going to do it for tonight. Jess, we've got a lot of football coming up this weekend. Like you mentioned, we got Bengals, Dolphins, and the NFL side coming up tonight. We've got BYU, Utah State, the college game, Notre Dame's next opponent going into this bye week. As of now, I know Brian is planning on an IB countdown to kick off Saturday. Fingers crossed that everything goes well for them. So we'll just end it on this because we are not Marshall says baseball is great. Maybe we should end it on this. Derek says Frankie Lasagna serves spaghetti with the meatball off the plate. That's a good one. That's a good dish. That. Spaghetti with the meatball off the plate. I like that. I like that. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Glad to have you with us as always. Thanks for joining us this week. We've got a game week coming up next week when Notre Dame takes on BYU. We'll be back then. Jess will be on some shows. Vince will be on some shows. We've got a mixture of everybody. So thanks for stopping in tonight. And we will talk to you next week on IB Nation Sports Talk.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.